Today is the Christian holy day of Pentecost. It's celebrated, as I said, on the 50th day of Easter, and it commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the others, as we read about just now in the book of Acts. It's also known as the Festival of Weeks and Feast of Harvest, and it's talked about in Exodus and Deuteronomy, and in particularly the word Pentecost comes from the word 50, as we read it in Leviticus 23, chapter 23, verse 16, you shall count until the day after the seventh Sabbath, 50 days, then you shall present an offering of the new grain to the Lord. So it's been around even for a while when this event took place in Acts. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we think about this morning. Lord, as we read in Psalm 104 just now, may my meditation be pleasing to you, Lord, in whom I rejoice. You are our Maker and our Redeemer. Open our hearts now, Lord. Help us to calm our minds that we can hear that which you have for us this day. This is a day of Pentecost and a day of communion, Lord. Speak to us in that light. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I was doing some research on sort of the history of Pentecost. I like to do that a lot, as you know. And I came across the term Holy Spirit holes. And I never heard of that before myself, but apparently in medieval churches, some medieval churches, they would punch holes in the ceilings and roofs of these churches to symbolize an openness to God. And on Pentecost, they would release doves through these holes and drop bundles of rose petals through the holes on top of everybody to represent the Spirit of God rising and the love of God coming down upon us. It'd be kind of a neat thing, I suppose, if we were to do that. We might get wet on a day like today, but it would be an interesting symbol. The church was full of symbols in those times. We kind of look at the church in many ways and some of the things that have been done historically with almost disdain, but when we realize why they were doing some of the things and not just doing them, true meaning does come back. What a lovely thought that would be. And another thing I found, that when we think of the Holy Spirit, the bird we often think of is the dove. And again, researching this into the Celtic Christians, they didn't choose a dove to represent the Spirit of God. They chose the wild goose to represent the Holy Spirit. So I can't imagine releasing wild geese in the church to go up through the roof, but it would be interesting, I suppose. So the next time you're down at the lake and you're seeing Canada geese down there, that should remind you now of the Holy Spirit of God honking, I guess, in so many ways. Today is Pentecost, as I said time and again, and normally on this particular Sunday, I spend a lot of time talking about the story that as we read it in Acts, and it's an important event in our church history and something that I think we do need to spend time on, but I wanted really to think about that visit that Jesus had with the disciples just prior to Pentecost actually taking place, as we read in John chapter 20, and the words that he spoke to them. There's four words in particular that he spoke to them. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Ephesians 6 says this, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand all evil on that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm." Describes the attributes in that analogy that Paul's giving. And he finishes it up with this, "Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication." Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. Peace be with you. I often hear people inside but outside the church, and I've talked about this a couple of times. I've been putting these funny little pictures up on Instagram with Bible verses and sayings and stuff like memes, they're called. And one of the ones I put up just recently was somebody looking up rather kind of angrily, you know, and it just repeats them looking like this. And underneath I'd written that look you want to give somebody when they tell you what a Christian should live like and they've never even opened a Bible. You want to just kind of, you know. Because often we hear the word, well, Christianity is all about love. That's it. It's all about love. We need to love. We need to love. We need to love. And that's true in some ways. It's true in a big way. But the words of Jesus struck me as I was meditating on this week. Peace be with you. Paul talks about troubled times. We live in troubled times. The last number of Sundays in particular that I've had to come up in this pulpit, if we think just at the past week, the events that have taken place. 2 weeks ago, a horrible event took place. People died. Just the other day, this weekend, it happened again. We're living in troubled times. And although we're somewhat disconnected to it, living here in Burlington, who would have thought London, England, would have been a place that they were reporting those kinds of news events on a weekly basis? Peace be with you. We need peace in our world. If we're going to summarize, I think, what Christ's message is, it's peace. It's peace that's driven forward by God's love, His unending love, His everlasting love, but it's a peace. We are warring all the time, it seems. And the whole business of repentance and sin and that whole topic, the whole sort of instance of the message that we read about in Genesis, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, a war began in that sense. Peace was lost at that point. The relationship with God, the peaceful, loving relationship that they had with God ended at that point. Christ came into this world 7 weeks ago in our timeline calendar here to restore that peace. Christ speaks those words when he sees the disciples in this particular moment and says, "Peace be with you." Take these words basically and deliver them to the world. If we're going to do anything, that's what we need to be doing as Christian people. And we hear about remarkable situations in church where peace is brought about in big ways. Where some organization has got together and they've gone out and done something that's remarkable, something that maybe hits the news even, where, yeah, peace was obtained in this particular case. But peace can happen in all sorts of small ways too, we as Christian people. By living with God and responding to God and answering that call to peace in every situation we find ourselves in. A nurse who's been working with an Alzheimer's patient for 10 years, knowing that those patients are never going to get well or give testimonials to say this nurse really loved me and took care of me, that's peace in a world. That's helping a troubled person quietly and peacefully. A woman who cares for her children with humor, love, and kindness, even though she's been left alone to raise a child by herself. She's bringing peace into this world and is choosing to do so. A teen who goes out and leads her community and starting a recycling project, for instance, is bringing peace into this world and may never get in the news, may never get thanked by anyone. The list I've got here is long, but we can all think of an example in our lives. Something small that we're doing that's bringing the peace that God wants by these small acts that we do. And they're not just done because we're trying again, as I said a few weeks ago, just to be nice people. They're here because the peace that God has given us in our hearts, we're responding to that. We're responding and bringing peace about. There's a piece of liturgy in the church, and I'm going to say that word, but it's the order of service. You know, as I've said many times, I've been to a lot of churches in my time, a lot of different denominations in my time, and even some of the Presbyterian churches that I've been working with over the years, too. They don't have this. Some of them. They don't have this piece of paper, and they proudly say so, in my experience. We don't have an order of service. We just let the Spirit lead. And that's true. That's what they're striving for. But every Sunday, it's the same thing. They get up and they have an opening call and they sing a hymn and they do a prayer and then they do a sermon and then they do a hymn and they give a blessing and they leave. And it bounces a little bit. But there's an order of service. There's a liturgy to that service. It's just not written down. Other ones put it up on a board, on a screen, and make the same claim. There's still a liturgy there. And there's a piece of liturgy that I did in a Presbyterian church before I started here, and I was spoken to about afterwards. I get spoken to all the time. And it was something small. I didn't even think about it, but something that we were doing when I was at school. I asked everyone to pass the peace of Christ and say, peace be with you, just as Christ did. And the person came up to me and said, well, you know, we had a minister in our church, and he left to go to the other side. And that's exactly what this lady said to me, to go to the other side. He became an Anglican priest. And he would do those papist-sounding things in our church service, like passing the peace of Christ. So when I did that, they just didn't like it at all. I didn't even think about it being something they would do in an Anglican or Catholic church. It was just something that I thought was awfully lovely. Peace be with you. What a nice thing to do. That's what happens when you don't know liturgy from other places, I guess. Peace be with you. All of you are going to do that today when you go home. Just by simply doing small acts of kindness that you do, you're going to be passing that peace of Christ on to someone else, whatever that small thing may be. But this morning, just as we get ready to do our communion, this passing the peace of Christ in the bigger church history as a form of liturgy, as a regular act that's taken place, would often be done before communion was held. So we're going to do that too. I want you to turn to someone beside you and just take their hand. Peace of Christ be with you. You can do that now. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you all. Another reason I point this out today is because we need peace in our world. And it's been a part of our church history, the bigger church with a capital C church history, from the very beginning. Jesus said it to the disciples the first time that he met them after being raised from the dead. And I hear too often from Christian people, and especially non-Christian people, because I'm in contact with a lot of them, but Christian people too, oh, I don't want to do anything like the church did it. This doesn't mean anything. It can mean something. Right now, it meant something. We all shared Christ's peace with one another. We've all shared God's love and peace. It meant something. It meant something. As we move to communion this morning, I want us to remember that we're passing the peace of Christ in the act of communion that we participate in. And when we leave this service today, any small act that we participate in, whatever it may be, we're passing the peace of Christ to someone else in this world. And that's going to spin forward, and God's love and God's peace will continue because we're doing it because of God's love, Christ's love in our lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to just take a moment and the peace of Christ be with you. We're saying the very same words that our risen Lord said when he greeted the disciples in this account we read this morning. And through the power of your Spirit, Jesus is speaking those very same words as we shared them this morning for a blessing and comfort. Lord, continue with us this day. Help us to be thinking about passing the peace of Christ to someone that we encounter in this day, small or big. It's sharing your love. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.